All right, so the Shiras tonight is called the Ashes of Yitzhak. Okay, so I was learning the sugya, I'm learning the sugyas with Rabbi Zimmer about Tainus. Okay, the Seder Tainius in Tainus. Figured, so once we became into a time where we were doing Tainus, and we figured it was as good a time as any to learn sugyas about Tainus. So in the Tainios, when there's Tainios for rain, so there's a whole series of Tainios. First, they did three Tainios, which are like what we call half, I guess, fast start in the morning. Then they do another. If they're not answered, they do another three Tainios, which start at night and have the Inuyim. And then there's a series of seven Tainios. So it still doesn't rain. Series of seven Tainios, which are like more chamor, like the whole. Everyone goes out and davens. There's a whole Seder Tfilos on these. That's where you have like. Machlokas, but this we have 24 brachos. There's a whole Seder Tainios where they all go out to the street, and daven and ashes and all the stuff on these seven Tainios. So we came across an interesting machlokas about these ashes of why you put ashes. So there's a lot of interesting ideas along the way. So I figured let's read some of the Gemara just to get a feel for what's going on. Yeah, again, I could just cut to the chase, but it's like, but I don't know. I just feel like this is some interesting points, anyways. So if we look at, I guess you could look at Tainius Tesvavim and Beis. So it says like this. One second. Yeah. The Gemara discusses a little bit about the Seder, what happens. So here, like for example, if you look at Seder Ketanias Ketzah, with that's Vavamad Beis. Maybe this is also in the Mishnah, but I think the Gemara is going to analyze it a little bit. One second. Okay, so it says like this. For example, if you start with Barosh, the beginning of the Gemara, say the tiniest case, the most in the table. Here, v'sheva achronos. You see, it's like the third line in the Gemara. V'sheva achronos. What do you do? Motzienas hateva lerchova. So you bring the teva to the big center of the town, the city. You know some eifer al gabei. You put ashes on top of the teva, just like Esther. Ubirosh hanasi, and then they put ashes on the head of the nasi and the head of the avbezdin. The chol echad ve'echad no tel or no sein v'rosha, and everyone puts ashes on their head, right, on their own heads. I think, right, okay, and then it says, "Fine, v'Rebbe Nosson Omer Efer Maklahim." If you don't just bring ashes or dust, but you bring Efer Makla, it's like fire, ashes from a furnace. Okay, from a furnace. So what does that mean? So machlokas, is it just any dirt, or does it specifically have to be like ashes? Okay, so the Gemara is going to enter that. Okay, so if we jump down a little bit, so the Gemara asks, Maishna. So look at the bottom line of the Gemara. It says in Tainus, that's what I'm based. Maishna the shakel inish achrina mano. Why do other people take ashes and put it on the head of the Nasi and the Avbeis? Why not just do it on themselves? Some Rav of the Minkisri, Me'atzmo, it's not the same thing. They're trying to like embarrass them. And it's more embarrassing if someone else puts theirs on your head. Rashi says, the Agmas Nefesh Tvai, more Agmas Nefesh. Because they're Chashivus here, they're being embarrassing themselves from other people. Right? Okay, aval shar b'nei adam d'lo chashivi lo mespaishim. This isn't fine. Whatever. Then it says, like, let me jump down a little bit. So let's go further. So now it says, lama yotzin berachov. Why are we going out to the street? I'm on the fifth line. Just want to get some of the details. So this is the Seder Tanya, so the seventh Tanya. So Rav Chiya bar Abba Amri lo omer z'aknu b'tzina v'lo na'aneinu. We cried out in private. We weren't answered. Nivze atzma b'farhasya. We'll embarrass ourselves in farhasya, in public. All right. We're going to Galus. We're exiling ourselves. Let our exile, be mechaber for us. Let's say they go to a different shul. So if it's a matter of like going in public, that's not good. Not embarrassing yourselves in public. Right? They're not right. But if it's a matter of galus, then you are being galus. That counts. Okay, fine. Then it says, yeah, nivze. Yes. Then it says, why are we bringing the table to the middle of the street? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lomar kli tzanua havelanu. We had this like private kli, and we became embarrassed. It became disgraced through our sins. Like we have to, in a certain sense, degrade the Torah or whatever, the Kavod HaTorah, take it out from being in public to being out in private to being in public. The lama mischas and misakim. And why are we covering ourselves with sackcloth? We're lowly. We're chashuv like a behema. So we cover ourselves with like some sort of sackcloth, which is like I think Rashi said, chugur sakim. Yeah, behema. The misar behema in it. I mean, notes of shalizim. So the sackcloth is from like the wool or hair of Ezim. Okay. So again, all these things, a lot of these things are embarrassing ourselves, lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves, right? Yeah, the Gemara takes that up. Part of what you say, actually, the whole thing about the Abet Yonah. Yeah. Lama nosim efer makla agave teva. And why are you putting ashes on the teva? Right? I didn't say ashes on people, but why ashes on the teva? I'm Rav Shem Pazi, Klomar, Imo Nochi B'Tzara. And Hashem is, so to speak, with us in the Tzara. Rav Shem Hashem, B'chol Tzarasim Lo Tzar. It's a similar kind of pasuk. Okay, so it says, if Hashem is in the Galus with us. Okay. And then it says, Amr Reish Kiyavi Chazinu L'Rabbanan Diyavi Efer Makal Gabay Teva. When I saw the Rabbanan putting ashes on the Teva, Mizdadele Kule Gufay. My whole body would be shaking. Like, you know. That is if the Shechina is somehow being, also suffering. Okay, v'lomanosu efer b'rosh kol adam. So this is really the main point. Why are we putting ashes on people's head, on everybody's heads? Tainus tesayim aleph. So we're putting ashes on our heads to show we're considered before you like ashes, like nothing, like dust, right? Okay, the other one says it's to remind us of the Efer of Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak. My benayu, what's the difference? Ika benayu afar stam. Could use afar dust, not ashes, but dust. Rashi, afar stam. She ain't no Efer makla. It's not Efer from like a fireplace or fire. The chiras Efer of Yitzchak leka. You just put dust. It's not going to remind you of Efer of Yitzchak or the Yitzchak. But if it's right, yeah. But if it's reminding you of just that we're nothing, we're lowly like dust. Then it doesn't be like ashes. It can be dust also, right? I think there's a Rashi, so that's the difference. Efer offer Efer, they're kind of synonymous. But Efer makla is Efer sreifa. Rashi says in the Mishnah, that's for the mouth. Efer makla is like it's lower. Okay, so. So that's the machlokas. Because on the one hand, you say you just need an offer, any dust. We're lowly. The whole point is like lowering ourselves. The other one says, no. We want to remember the Efer of Yitzhak. Right? Okay. It's a funny tosis, actually. Look at that tosis, Efer Machla. Could never figure this out. But perish. Also, Efer having a davar hanisraf me atzmos. He's saying that it sounds like he's saying it's from somebody who's burned from the ashes from the bones of a person. They lizkar kedus. The whole thing is to show we're low before you like afer. Kimokin mahani afar stam, then any offer would work. Any enter mahinu pirish even afar stam. That's machlokes afar stam. So if it's supposed to be afer, it's like they want it to be burned. And Tosa adds in this point. There's another Tosa also says this. So I don't know what it means. Like, whose bones? Person's bones are going to burn up? And I don't know what he means exactly. But Plim Shah and the Gemara Rashi, then it just means whatever. It means ashes from a fire. And that reminds us of the Efer of Yitzchak. Right? Fire. But if it's just that we're lowly like dirt, then it doesn't have to be Efer. Okay, so the theme of all these things, And we saw this, I forget what it was. There's another Rashi also said that's part of why Bloshai.
What's the Afer? What's the Afer of Yitzchak?
Afer, oh, so Afer, that's a good question. What is Afer? It's like altogether. Ready.
Yeah, he wasn't burned.
Yeah, I know. So that's a good question. So what's Afer of Yitzchak? Fine. So let me jump cut to the chase here. So let me show you something. So this is the Rashi I wanted to do. So it's in, it's one of the machlokas, right? And one side says, the mind of Afer. So I says, nah, why not? Sounds like a reasonable thing to do, right? I mean, what's the machlokas?
As the other guy explained, putting Afer on the table. Is the teva the imonach of Yitzhak, so that they're going to also think about the
Afer of
Afer of
Yitzchak?
Yitzchak?
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. If we look at here, look at in Bilchukosai. Chaf Vav Membes. Okay, so this is talking about, all the Docha, basically. The whole Docha, towards the end. Okay? Towards the end when things start getting better, right? So, Yimaku Bavonam. So, because of their iniquity, the remnants will disintegrate in the lands of the enemies, because of their sins, their fathers. So, finally, this is at the end. They're going to do vidoy for what they did, and also for going carry. And I also go act towards them and carry. Oh, but or now, then they're finally going to, be humbled, right? Their uncircumcised hearts is going to become subordinated, and then I'll be appeased for their sins. Then I'll give them kapara for all the yisurim. It will break them, and they'll have achna. Then they're going to they'll be forgiven. Yitzhak, right? So remember the Bris of Avram, and also the Bris of Yitzhak, and the Bris of Avraham, I will remember. The Rashi picks up that it says like this. The Lama says, first of all, he says, Lama nimnu acharanis, why is Yaakov last? I'm sorry, why is I guess Avram last? But it says, Kedai hu Yaakov katan l'kach. Yaakov's Kedai. V'im eino Kedai, har Yitzchak iman. If not, then Yitzchak will be helped. V'im eino Kedai, ima Avram, ima shu Kedai, then he's Kedai. So basically, it's like the sequence. Maybe Yaakov will be enough. If not, then you have to pull, call out Yitzchak, and if not, you have to go all the way back to Avram. So now here, Lama lo nemra zechira by Yitzchak. Why doesn't it say zechira by Yitzchak? Okay, in other words, it says, "V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'ath es brisi Yitzchak." No word, zachar by Yitzchak. It says, "V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'ath es brisi Yitzchak, v'ath es brisi Avram ezkar." It's ezkar, so it has ezkar on Avram, it has ezkar on Yaakov. It doesn't have ezkar on Yitzchak, right? Should have said, either say one ezkar and let it go on everything, or say ezkar on each and every one. But it repeats, says Yaakov, then it skips it by Yitzchak, and then it says again by Avram, right? So Rashi says, "Lamla nemar yitzchak." It's like Shari ela afaro shel Yitzchak nira lefanai tzavor umunach al mizbeach. The ashes of Yitzchak are appear before me, piled and placed on top of the mizbeach. Okay, and therefore, he doesn't need to remember. He doesn't need to remember the ashes of the Yitzchak. He always remembers Yitzchak, right? Even when we're in Galus, even all these terrible things are happening to us, so to speak, he forgets about Avram and Yaakov, right? But the ashes of Yitzchak are always before Hashem, placed on the Mizbeach. Okay? So therefore, he's not going to say that when they do tshuva finally, then he's going to remember the Yitzchak. No, he always remembers Yitzchak. And even though in terms of the pshat, I mean, Zachar tis brisi Yaakov, afes, what do you mean, afes brisi Yitzchak? Doesn't it mean I'll also remember it? But whatever. Somehow it seems like it's different. That there's some sort of eternal memory of Yitzchak, even when they're in the depths of the Galus. There's an eternal memory of Yitzhak, and not of Yaakov. So I think this is what. So this I think what it means ashes. First of all, the ashes of Yitzhak. Two things this Rashi helps us with. First of all, is what it means the ashes of Yitzhak. Whatever this means, whatever we have to figure out what this means, the ashes of Yitzhak. Yeah, Yitzhak wasn't burned. He was going to be burned, but he wasn't burned. Right, so what ashes? Ashes that would have happened, but they didn't. What does that mean, and why are they always there? The whole thing is strange, but I think that's what it means, the ashes of Yitzhak, right? But now, maybe this also helps. This is Rabbi Zimmer thought of this associates connection is that maybe this is why also in one sheet says you bring ashes on the tainus, you put ashes on you to remember Yitzhak, right? That's what he's saying. That's why you use ashes. So Yitzhak for Yitzhak. But maybe the other man damar holds you don't need to remember Yitzhak. That's what this Rashi is saying. No, you don't need a zikon for Yitzhak. You don't need to bring ashes to remember Yitzhak. You always remember Yitzhak. Hashem always remembers Yitzhak. You don't need to, like, well, you bring these ashes as part of your tefillah. So I understand you need to have ashes, dirt to say we're like nothing for you. But why do you need ashes? Ashes to remember Yitzhak. Hashem always remembers Yitzhak. You don't need to do that. And the other man da'amar will say, no, still have it. Whatever, it's still
This is the
there.
medium. I remember the Yitzhak in the palace. I was like this.
What's that? Oh, through
This is the
this. Oh,
medium.
I see, through it. But it's all the ashes are on the Mizbeach piled up. Whatever, we
But
have
it
to
was on the
figure it out.
Mizbeach in the palace.
Well, the question of what does it mean? Well, if there's no Mizbeach in the Galus, then why does it say you don't need this Zechariah to Yetzirah? Why is Rashi saying you don't remember Yitzhak? It's talking about the Galus. It's saying despite the Galus, it's saying Hashem doesn't need it. It sounds like the Mizbeach is on a heavenly Mizbeach. Like, what Mizbeach? Yeah, what Mizbeach? What's he talking about? It's presumably Hashem's Mizbeach, not our Mizbeach. Right? Presumably. So there's a lot of things going on here. So one thing which is interesting, this is a question Aaron asked, is that like this theme is like we're doing tshuva in theory. It's days of tinius. It's a shiva tinius for our veros. And this is like we're pulling all, out all the stops. You know, it wasn't working. The first three tinius didn't work. The next three tinius didn't work. But the final is the last just seven tinius. So it's like this constant theme which is coming up in all these different things which you're doing are like embarrassing us, lowering us, we're like an animal, the ashes, we're like nothing, right? But like, was there Avera? Yeah, gassus, arrogance? I don't know, maybe their Avera was Znas, or maybe their Avera was they didn't do Sma Krishma, or I don't know, like whatever, about Zara. Like, why is it like, who's, to, like, I get it if that was their Avera, but is that the only Avera? I mean, there's a lot of Averas. Right? Like, why is it that all, Mom is explaining all these different things are all taloi, all some form or other. I mean, not 100%, but like basically that type of thing, embarrassing us, warning us, we're like an animal, we're like nothing, we're like, you know. Why is that such a, you know, central theme here? Okay, so just for starters, Ranava, it seems, I mean, this is what we said, and I think we found the, I found the raya I was going through. I'm going to Joshua Saran, by the way, if anyone has heard of Joshua Saran. It's really good. Excellent. I mean, he has a nice comment, but it's especially the article edition is good. I have been through it before in the most of Rav, but it's, I don't know, I found it's hard to read. There's something hard about the language. But with the article, he did an excellent job. This is Kielsen, he davens here on Shabbos. He did a very good job. The footnotes are awesome. The translation is awesome. And the Ran, it's unbelievable work. It's like, he's giving these drashos, but they touch on all different types of yisodot throughout the whole thing. It was really great. And it's the Ran. And, you know, like quoting and the footnotes bring in. For the Ran themselves quoting Rishonim, but the footnotes are bringing in Rambam, Rashi's and Rambans and everything, you know. And it's touching on all different Amish. It's not just like Slam Joshua, so Dvar Torah or whatever. It's like these long winded things which go on tangents and just talk about Yisodos here, there, and everywhere. So, yeah. So I happen to so going through them. So I happened to come across this point, but I'll tell you the point first, and then I'll say I found this other wrong afterwards. But it's kind of like what she's saying. It's like it seems that anava, in some form or other, look, there's anava is a particular chait, versus a bal taiva, but in some form or other, anava underlies everything. Because, like you know, like a person says, the person's bal gaiva, it's like there's no Hashem says, there's like no place for me and for him in the world. You know, it's like ultimately the ultimate measure of a person, like the person's self-centered and sees himself as a child or whatever. He's the center of his world. And God is just there to serve him, and everything's there to serve him. And the ultimate, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like the highest level of perfection is when a person is able to recognize his place in the world and then subordinate. All chait comes from him putting his own desires, whatever the particular desire happens to be. Let's say it's about taiva, and it's I don't know, it's nas, or it's chol shabbos, or it's stealing. Ultimately, it's like I am my desire, my need is more important than either my friend or than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or than the bigger world order, right? It's like ultimately, chait involves a self-centered expression of your desires over the desires of the system as a whole. In the name of the people and the creator, the God. So it's like the chait might have a particular midah that you have a hang up on. You know, you're addicted to chaylev and whatever, meat and milk. But ultimately, okay, fine, you are. But what about Hashem Sivoy? Don't you realize you're part of a big plan of God's world, and you're part of Klal Yisrael, and you're a nation who's devoted towards Kiddush Hashem? And I understand you have a taiva, but taiva should be seen in the greater context of, you know, your place in God's world, and you're a small creature, and you don't just get to decide what you want to do because you would have a desire. And if you truly had a sense of your place in the world, then your desires would be subordinated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ratzon Hashem. So, in some form or other, chait is always rooted in gaiva, and perfection is rooted in anava. And that's why it's interesting, because there's I'll tell you what the Ran said. So the Ran, you know, this Gemara says that a person isn't roy to be a navi unless he is Chacham, Gibor, Ashir, Va'anav. So the Ran's argument is Chacham, I understand, that's like intellectual perfections. Anav is like I guess he calls them, I forget his word exactly, but Midos perfections, character perfections. And he says, what is Gibor and Ashir? Right? So he says, Gibor and Ashir, you might say, the Rambam learns, Gibor means like Ezeu Gibor HaKavesh Yisro, you know, which is like a certain emotional, moral perfection. And Ashir, Ezeu Ashir HaSmech B'Chalko, like a different moral perfection. So the Ran says, no, it can't be. Because once you have Anav, you have all the things. Anav includes everything. It says, Achar Shehizkir Anav, I'm on page 376 in Drashei. Right? And he says this just shows anyone who reached anava. It's impossible to reach anava if you didn't previously do all these different things. Tara, your shemayim, chet, all that. So it's obviously v'kimin shekein min yedushu moshal yitzro. Right, we should give him his stop because obviously he's anav. He's already a gibor. He's already controlling his yetzer, and he's already you know, smachachalka, right? Okay, and so on. So basically, he's saying is like his argument is that anava super incorporates everything. He's an anav, then he's includes everything. But right? It's you can't be an anav if you still have these midos which are out of control. So his point is that my point here is that now, by the way, his point therefore is he learns that Gibor and Ashir are literally means you have to be strong and rich in order, and he asks why, and he develops his thing is because you have to impact people. Part of the Navi is you're designed to, trying to impact others, and if they need to see that you're successful in different areas of life,
influential.
yeah, influential, exactly, yeah,
Bodybuilder.
yeah, right. You have to be influential, right? You have to
Wasn't
be influential.
only a small percentage of the Nevi'im that were actually, you know, like had this mission, like wasn't there like a thing that a lot of people, a lot
Oh,
like
not
more.
personal Nevi'im, like Nevi'im for a Klal Yisrael and so on. Like he says, Nava, Niva. Yeah, that's in a footnote, I think. But basically, Navi means from like speech. The word Navi comes from Nivsvasayim, or speech. And that's like, so many Nevi'im who are like speakers. But like personal Nevi'im is, I don't know, he's again to that. I think a footnote had that. But yeah, my point though is that in doing tshuva, it's interesting. It's like, you know, there's such a thing as a baal gaiva, where that is your problem. But even if the person is not a baal gaiva, I mean, I don't know how to define this a little better, but like, you know, certain such a thing as a baal gaiva is mamish, like bragging, always talking about himself, always totally me, that type of thing. But like, even a person is not a baal gaiva, you know, it's not quite his problem. But he's just a baal taiva, he's into money, he's into whatever, he doesn't keep Shabbos, he's the whatever, he has a hard time controlling himself and his taivas. I don't know. In some form or other, it's still an underlying gaiva. Or on a lack of anava. It's a certain sense of he is putting himself over God, over the system. And I don't know, maybe it could be defined better, like the difference between like the midah of gaiva proper versus like this tendency of the personality. Because I still think there is such a thing as a Balgaiva. You don't say everyone's a Balgaiva. Every chote is a Balgaiva in the same type of a way. So,
Isn't he overestimating the significance of his own perspective and experience? Right? I mean, that's the common thing there, right? He feels like he cannot push through or overcome, or it's not worth it, or it's not, the rewards, and somehow his circumstance is different. But
Yes.
that's
Right. But I still feel there's a difference where that's like implicitly he's doing that. I feel like a Baal Gaiva, classically, is a guy who it's not just implicit. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's explicit. He's actually has that as like a philosophy. Maybe that's the difference. Like there's an explicit like philosophy. I'm the best. I'm the best. Everyone should serve me. That's like a Baal Gaiva in like a classical sense. But even if you don't have that philosophy, but it's implicit in any series of chet is that you're viewing the world through your self-centered lens. You just may not take on a philosophy, I'm the greatest. Some people have that feeling, I'm the greatest. And everyone's wrong, I'm right, I'm the best, I'm the best, I'm the best. That's the classical ball guy. But even if you don't have that shita, but through all your chataim, you could exhibit that you're viewing the world through your lens and your values and your perspective on reality is through your lens. So in that sense, everyone is a chote that partakes of gaiva, and that's what you're subordinating yourself. When you're starting to embarrass yourself, subordinating yourself like ashes, like an animal, it doesn't mean because you have a shita that you're the greatest, but it means implicitly in your chatam. Everyone is chatam, and we all have this view that our needs, our desires, our wishes, dreams, aspirations are ultimately more significant than the greater good than the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's. As we're lowering ourselves, humbling ourselves like an animal, putting ourselves in our place. Okay. So why would this, before we get into specifically the Efer of Yitzhak, forget the Efer of Yitzhak, but why would we want to be remembering the Akedah? Right? Why would we want to be remembering the Akedah in this context? Exactly like you see what we do on Zichronos. The greatest Hachna. And so far as this, and that's what you're saying, the pasuk goes to kind of amhara, the ultimate perfection is from a chote is achla, to subordinate ourselves, to recognize as great as our desires are, even the greatest desire, even rachamim, for your son, who's a tzaddik, doesn't matter. So he took his personal desire, which is the best of desires out there, and he subordinated because he recognized that Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more significant. So it's like a model. It's not just see ash dirt itself is like it's like lowers us. We're like dirt. We're like lowly. We're like dirt. Ash is nothing. But there's a model of a person who exhibited that, acted that way. One of our avos who embodied that through giving his moser his nefesh, the Shem Shemayim, right? And again, it could have been Avram, it could have been Yitzhak. But it's interesting. It's picking out like in Zichronos, it's Avram. Right? But here it's the Eifar Shel Yitzchak. But I guess because you want, yeah, what are you going to put a knife on your head? I guess you put the ashes on your head. That's the ashes, like the ashes of Yitzchak, which you have to get to. We'll get to the ashes of Yitzchak. But, right? So it's it totally seems a great connection. Like all these things are trying to remember Anava, but there's Anava in the abstract. But then there's the model of one of our Avos. The greatest expression of that is through the Gakeda. So why would anyone argue on that, right? I mean, it seems like the great. It's like a double reflection. It reflects the lowliness, but it through a specific reference to a paradigm of humbling oneself before the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So that was kind of where we got at first. That's kind of where we got to. We were doing this thing. We're doing this another thing. We saw it for Yitzhak. It totally is up the alley, and then we're wondering. So what's the machlokas? I mean, isn't that possible? You can't find ashes? Just get ashes. Well, why would you use dirt? I mean, it's an easy thing to find or to manufacture, right? Yeah, might as well be making both. So it's like, is there a reason not to? Right? I mean, what kind of machlokas, right? So it almost sounds like someone's saying that you shouldn't. Or it's not necessary. It's whatever. Don't do that. I know it's also, but like, you don't need to. But it should be. That should be the halacha, period. Straight pasha. So that's when I think Aaron associated to this Rashi, that there is an idea of not having a zechira of Yitzhak because of this idea of the Efer of Yitzhak is Munach Tasek Zichavon, and Hashem left out Zikaron of Yitzhak. So now they got us to thinking about, okay, fine, so forget this whole thing. Let's just analyze that Rashi. Try to see, well, what is that idea? And then we can come back to this one. This is kind of our process. Okay? Okay, so let's, this is a question. Let's go to that. Let's go there, okay? For now, I'm over. I'm saying both Avraham and Yitzhak both exhibited achna'a, kavash their desires. Avraham is kavash rachmav, and Yitzhak is kavash his desire for the self. So here, again, I'm not saying maybe an achnami. If you could put a knife on your head or something, then that would remind you of Avraham. Maybe that would be fine. But ashes are remember Yitzhak. But both Avraham and Yitzhak, it's akedah for now at least. It's remembering the akedah. And it's like the ashes is what you're doing. You're putting dirt. You're lowering yourself. That's you can remember the ashes because the ashes are like Eidah. But you know, in some sense, Moshe is saying, yeah, maybe it's even greater. Achna. You're giving up your own life. It's harder to give up your life than your son. Okay, maybe, maybe yes, maybe no. But either way, I mean, you have to have something which is going to fit the zecher also. And how are you going to remember? What are you going to do to remember? It's like you put oil on your head. And put, you know, like this is what you can put the ashes again by a shofar. You can remember oil by using a shofar shalayel. I get it. You don't blow ashes, you blow a shofar. So you blow a shofar, you use a shofar shalayel. But here you're putting dirt on your head, so you make the dirt out of ashes, and now remember, okay, it's just like for now. Okay. Got let's do this Rashi again. So Rashi's saying, even when Hashem remembers the galus, right, remembers us after the galus. He remembers the Bris, Yaakov, and Yitzchak, and Avram, he remembers. But leaves out remembering Yitzchak because the Efer of Yitzchak is always put before me on the Mizrach. So one question is, what Efer of Yitzchak? There was no Efer of Yitzchak. If Yitzchak was not burnt, maybe that was the original plan, but it didn't actually happen that way. So what's he even talking about? And what does it mean? It's always before Hashem on the Mizrach. Like, why? I mean, presumably, what Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov aren't always remembered. Why? Because we're chotim. And we're chotim, we're not remembered. So to speak, there's Hester Panim. And Hashem, so to speak, forgets us. That's part of what's so bad about there's the Nasser Hester Panim by Yom HaRoah, right? So it's there's Hester Panim. And we're not remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Yitzchak is. Because why? Because that Gedah. I mean, okay, this is ashes. I mean, okay, it's a nice act, but we're not living like Yitzchak. We're sinning terribly in the Gullus. So what is it? Do we somehow embody the perfection of the Akedah? I don't think so. We're sinning. We're living in terrible. We're doing the worst of eras. So is it somehow more real? Somehow our level is somehow whatever. I don't know. Yitzchak more than Avram and Yaakov? I mean, arguably we've strayed from the Derech of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? So in what sense... What sense does it make to say that that the ashes of Yitzchak are always before Hashem on the Mizrach? Such that he doesn't need to remember it later. He'll already remember. So let me develop an approach that we were. I think I can't remember. This is mainly Aaron's idea, but I don't remember exactly what. But this is basically what we want to say. So we're going to pursue this a little bit. The problem is it's like open ended. You can say a lot of things. It's like that, you know. So he said, "What is this din of the Efer?" Right? What Efer? He wasn't slaughtered. You see that the Efer is. You also say Yitzchak was like an Olat Mima. You know, and therefore, you know, it's Shal Chutzlar, he can go Chutzlar. A few times, like an Olat Mima. You know, he couldn't take a Pilagash, he had to make another wife. Olat Mima. You know? It's also the same kind of thing. Like he's an Ola. Ola. He wasn't sacrificed, he was, you know. So the idea is that maybe in some sense, Yitzchak was sacrificed. Right, like as we all know, the personality of Yitzchak, but he was not like maybe Rabbi talked about this. I'm sure you know he's like traumatized by it, but not quite traumatized only in like a negative way. It's like he saw the reality. He's Moser's nefesh, l'shem shemayim, and he was basically again about to be totally subordinate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave up his life, and then he managed to live through it. Right, and that like this impact, like this whole life flashed before his eyes, totally gave up everything. Changed my mind, but then lived to tell about it or to get through, you know? And in a certain sense, he became like fixated on this high level of like in the world of Agatha Sparkle. Like as if he was, there was in a certain sense, there's a part of him that was sacrificed. He was still alive, but it's like his personality was part of him was slaughtered on the Mizbah. And like he was, for example, he was never really able to interact in the world in the way that most people could. He wasn't able to go to Chutz La'aretz and no wheeling and dealing of blah blah. He would never be able to deal with the law. He didn't sense the evil of Esau. He wasn't able to take another wife. It's like, and it's like he was like in a certain sense kulo l'Hashem. He's like an olah tamima, and he was his perfection was in his lefnei Hashem, totally lefnei Hashem. It wasn't in his interaction with people and his out, you know, like he's a little bit with the Wells, but not less so. But he so it's like. And the argument is, it's like in some sense, there was a part of him that was lost. And you could call it a perfection or you could call it imperfection. Now, in some senses, it's a great perfection because he was able to enter like a different type of sphere. On the other hand, there's a loss of the totality of the human personality, which is able to integrate all the different parts of the person. And arguably, his inability to see the evil of Yitzchak of Esav was because of this. Like for example, when Yaakov came to Rachel, he says, he told her, "Ki achi Yehu," and Rashi says, "Like I could be his brother in Ramos. If he wants to be Rama, then I'm his brother in Ramos. If he wants to be a tzaddik, I'll be like Rachel. I'll be ben Rivka, but I'm also I could be his brother in Ramos." So Yaakov is saying, "Look, I'm a tzaddik, but I'm not like my father. I could be a brother in Ramos. I know evil. I understand evil. I had a brother Esav. I understand how evil works." It's like there's, and in a certain sense, what he's saying is maybe part of the way, and you could see whether you agree with this, but part of the way you could understand evil is because there's a part of it in you. It's part of the way you, how do you ever understand anything about any other person? Ultimately, it's because you know yourself. You have first-hand knowledge of yourself. And then there's like, in a certain sense, you know, called projection, and not without the bad, you know, the curse word projection, but like there's a certain type of projection. It's like you know yourself, you know your psyche, you know your feelings, you know your different things, and you see other people's actions, and you have a certain association that they're kind of doing what you're doing, not exactly, of course, and you have to adjust it and fine tune it and study them or whatever. But like there's an underlying, like your frame of reference about what the human psyche condition challenges are ultimately from you. And if you had no Yetzirah, so to speak, you wouldn't be able to understand the Yetzirah. Like, what is that? Why in the world is he, you know, doing that? Like, well, you know, so to the degree that you have it within you, which everyone does, again, like a tzaddik in general is a person who doesn't not have, he has these evil tendencies. He has the self-centeredness and the desire to cheat other people and all those other things. It's just that he realizes that they're misguided and he controls them. But since you have them, you could understand them in another person. And you see it in another person, you could relate to it. There's a part of you which it rings true to, and you could understand it, even though you don't live that way. That's why I think why it's so hard for people to like understand Hitler or the Hamas or like total evil. It's like you could just do it like a con man. You just don't think that way. It's just so beyond, like a person cons you. Because you just don't, I can't imagine a person can be so tricky, corrupt, deceitful. It's so foreign to your personality. So that's like a naive person. It's like a person who themselves is honest is very hard to understand, you know, naive the corruption and right? So it's like the degree, and that's I think what Yaakov is assuring Rachel is like, don't worry, I got this, I can handle it. But maybe Rachel thought he wouldn't because she knew about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was not a person who could do that. Yitzchak, and I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Part of him that was the Olah Tamim, that part of Yitzchak was like a sacrifice. And he lost that part of him. And he was like a person who was wholly in the world of Hashem. And he couldn't understand evil. He couldn't see through Esav's deception. Rivka good. But Rivka knew she came from that kind of a house. But Yitzchak couldn't. He just accepted Esav for what he was. And in a certain sense, arguably, That's what allowed Esav, like ultimately Esav's head was in the Aras Machpelah. Like Esav, there were certain, as bad as Esav was, he had a certain zechuyos. Kibbutz Avayim ultimately ended up as having his head in the Aras Machpelah. And there was like, it's not clear if everyone wrote him off. Maybe he would have been even worse. Ultimately, he made peace with Yaakov. He didn't kill Yaakov. So there's like a part of him, which was he still wanted his father's acceptance. So it could be that's like part of what enabled Esav, you know, to not go totally off was the fact that Yitzhak did accept him. Like, again, I'm not saying Yitzhak knew about this. It's like, but that is what Yitzhak, in a certain sense, he didn't see as evil. And he just respected him, and he, you know. But you need both. Like, again, it was, in a certain sense, if you really, if Yitzchak had his way, then Esav would have been getting the brachos, and that would have been terrible. You know, so, but at the same time, if there was only Yaakov and Rivka, then maybe Esav would have been pushed even further away. And who knows, maybe he would have killed Yaakov or whatever in their confrontation, or maybe whatever. Could have been worse. You know, he only waited because he waited for his father to die because he respected his father. Otherwise, maybe he would have killed Yaakov even earlier or tried to. So what's the point? The point is that, so again, Yitzchak is his Efer in a certain sense. There is Efer of Yitzchak. Was Yitzchak burned? Sort of. Partially. Okay, now here's the step. So now the thing is that, how do we survive in Gaulis? We become terrible. When we're in Gaulis, we could be evil. The worst. The worst. There are times of Klal Yisrael. I mean, we are terrible. Both the Korbanos and Gaulis. I mean, there are times where Klal Yisrael is despicable. A level 7 and 7, the worst. Worst, terrible. Right? So we don't embody the values of the office. Right? We're totally worthy of destruction. But ultimately, how do we persist? So maybe in a certain sense, like we are appealing to, or because Hashem remembers, so to speak, the ashes of Yitzchak. And Hashem treats us in a certain sense, Yitzchak, in a certain sense, the way that Yitzchak treated Esav, Hashem treats us. As evil as we are, is Hashem does write us off. As evil as Esav was, Yitzchak didn't write him off. And as evil as, there's a certain time where we need Hashem to accept us, even though we're evil. And even though there's a certain, that like midah of Yitzchak, that he's willing to like overlook Esav's imperfections. And he accepted him for what he was, or didn't notice his imperfections. That ultimately didn't allow Esav to not get the worst evil and ended up having his head in Aras Machpelah. Like he had a certain spot. And maybe it's like, if it's like, that's a certain like type of extreme rachamim, absolute rachamim, which is, and maybe that's why it's the munach on the Mizbeach. Like Mizbeach is like kapara. It's like a certain kapara rachamim. Like there's a certain type of rachamim in Kadosh Baruch Hu that no matter how bad we get in the Gullus, no matter how sinful we are, but there's still the model of Yitzchak, of the perfection of Yitzchak, and of the, I guess, of the acceptance of Yitzchak, the Yitzchak had of Esav, is like a type of a Rachmanus that we have from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Gaulis, and that's what like allows us to that Hashem, so to speak, never forgets. So yes, we don't have the we're not like Avram. Again, what Avram and Yaakov would do, they would throw us out, so to speak. But it's Yitzchak would accept that, and it's like we're, so to speak, asking or thinking about that there's a type of Rahman with Kadosh Baruch Hu that, despite how terrible we are, but doesn't say like Afkam's person, like this is the point that I was talking about. It says, yeah, Afkam's those person, I said, Lo Masim of Altimal Chalosam, a half every season, Kinesh Alkam. So even no matter how bad you're getting, right? Yan Riyan of Mishra Time Ma'asu, it's like all in Afsham, it's like you're the worst. But still, Hashem's not going to totally forget about it. And that's what the ideas are saying, is that that's like embodied by the Midah of Yitzhak Avinu. So, in a sense, we're saying is that Yaakov and Abraham, those Midos and the way they lived, if they were the judges, so to speak, of us, then we'd be done. But it's like Yitzchak's, it's in a certain sense, Yitzchak's, like acceptance of Esau. It's like that, like Hashem, there's Hashem acts that way also towards us at times. The same way it's like acted, Hashem acts towards us at times as well. And that's what we appeal to. So in that sense, you don't need Zikaron for that. That's like always Yitzchak. That's what I'm saying. It's like the type of the Yitzchak, the Avram and the Yaakov, we totally are removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so far as and like and so far as like their model is concerned, their model is the model of accepting the Tov and rejecting Rishon, and in that sense we'd be rejected. But it's because of the Afer of Yitzchak that we're able to continue the process. Yeah, I'm saying, look, in some sense it wasn't oversight of Yitzchak's part, but in some sense it was beneficial to Esau for him to not. And not be held accountable ultimately for his rashes. That like if you mamish, like if you would have totally rejected him, would that have been better for him? I'm saying is like in some times a person sometimes you have to accept a person for what he is, and just to reject him doesn't always work. And like sometimes you need to reject him, but to absolutely totally cut him off, that's it, he's out of there, then he would have been even worse off. So. It's true. I'm not saying that Yitzchak chose that. Yitzchak, in a certain sense, he was an old, it was like his personality that was the only thing available to him. It was an oversight. I'm saying, but there is something to that type of a relationship. It's not there's some right. There is some benefit to relating to a person, even though they're totally evil, not to cut them off. And that's what we want when we're in Galus. That's the kind of thing we're going to say. We're going to say, listen. If treat us like Yitzchak treated Esau, in some sense, like there is a certain midah of rahmanas, I guess you could call it, where you just totally like ignore the evil in the person, and just treat and relate to them insofar as the good parts of their nature. And they have terrible parts of their nature, that's true, but they also have something good about them. And even if we're in the worst depths of galus, there's something good about us. Is it overpowered by our evil? Yes. So is Esau's, but still, there's something good about us. And Yitzchak embodied the idea of he grabbed hold of the goodness of Esau, even though there was much more of bad evil. And that's what we ultimately turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, listen, and I feel like in Slichos, we're kind of say those things. We're terrible sinners, and we're nothing, and we're out of
It's
his hands.
Av, like Rachamim Av, right? I mean, that's
Okay.
really the difference. The
Yeah, right.
or
No.
apparent.
Not. But it depends on the op, Again, I don't know if for example, Rivka didn't, in a certain sense, did write him off, and the mother's fathers would write off in Yitzchak, but Yitzchak didn't. I mean, yeah, it was because of Yitzchak, but in a certain sense, it was because of Yitzchak's focus on Tov. He wasn't in the world of the Ra. It's like he didn't acknowledge the Ra. He just acknowledged the Tov, and whatever Tov Yitzchak had, he didn't embrace it. And that's there is again, it's tricky because I know in some sense. It was due to like a, but it's not like I'm saying there's something true about that or something good about that. It's not, you could say it's because of an oversight, but there is something proper about that. And there's a balance. Again, you want to push a person away, but at the same time, you don't want to push them away too much. There's a balance between the two. And again, Rivka pushed them away in a sense, but he had to embrace them. Maybe that was a proper balance for him. And we could we're not we're closer when we're in Galus and we're sinful, we're closer to being like Esau than we are to Yaakov. And we need that type of an extreme rachamim. So just to finish up, again there's something interesting about this problem, but trying to yoke it. So is that so when it's so saying so one argument is to say so we don't well by us when we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're so to speak reminding him. We're asking to where the Zikaron. So we're saying is remember the bris of Avraham, remember the bris of Yaakov. And those are reasonable. Remember that kid. Remember what Avraham did. We don't have to say remember it's like that. Yitzchak's always remember. That idea, that midah of Yaakov, Yitzchak is always a reality. You don't have to ask for that Rachamim. That Rachamim is always there. On the other hand, we could argue, it's true, but it's helpful for us to recognize that. It's like, you know, it's like in a certain sense in the Tefillah, there's like, we don't need to, so to speak, ask Hashem to remember, because it's always Munach L'fanav, and He doesn't have to remember. But it's helpful for us when we're in Galus, and we lean on our tightness, and we realize that we persist. For us to acknowledge that we persist because of the Midah, because of Yitzhak, because of that idea. So it's like, on the one hand, when we're davening the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're like putting the case before Him. And we don't have to seek out Rachman from Yitzhak, remind Him, so to speak, of Yitzhak. But in Tefillah, like in some sense, it's our case which we're presenting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to say that to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it's always B'fana. At the same time, it's valuable for us to appreciate that when we exist, that we shouldn't feel somewhat righteous because we exist. We might say, look, if Hashem didn't destroy us, obviously that means we're pretty good. No, no, no. It could be like Esau was terrible, but he just like kept him around. And that's, it could be, it's more for us to acknowledge that we exist because of like Yitzhak, and we still might need to do terrible tshuva, extreme tshuva. Don't get full of ourselves because we exist, because it could be we're existing because of this midah. So it's like, maybe that's the sense of machlokas. It's like, on the one hand, the primary idea of these things is tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in terms of tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't really need to mention it, the Yitzhak. At the same time, we should recognize that fact. Part of tefillah is for us to recognize it. So that's my point. Yeah, I'm just saying it's true. Good way to say a question. Saying that normally we ask people model after our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here, so to speak, we're asking Hashem to model Himself the way He treats us, like it's like treated as Yitzhak. So what I'm saying is like there's, it's true, but like where there is, I'm saying there is a Midas Kadosh Baruch Hu that's like that. And even though Yitzhak, I don't know if he necessarily knew that, that there is a certain perfection, certain right, something right about what Yitzhak did, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu acts that way towards us as well. There's a parallel between those two. So we're not asking Hashem to copy Yitzhak, but that's, we see that Midah, and we can see the benefit of that Midah in Yitzhak. You, on the surface, you think that's a ridiculous Midah. That's stupid. What are you going to value a guy who's totally evil? It's crazy. What do you accomplish by that? But you could study Yitzhak in every 2 days, and you see there's a benefit to it. What? Yes, Enam Adaktik, totally Mavasar, Enam Adaktik, totally like Erech HaPayim, and all those things. And you could see how it benefited Esav. So you see that is, you see the benefits of that, and that's what we were, that's in a certain sense what we're, we seek out, that HaKadosh Baruch will do that to us, because if He's going to treat us different, like anyone else treats a Rasha, then we're dead. And we could see how, and but there's an argument to say, treat us, you know, even though, and these are the types of things we say in Slichas, even though Lol took us in, you know, all these things, like we're Rishonim and we're nothing, and you know, but ultimately we're Rahma Harab. And all those types of, you know, all those things. And that's, there's a model of that that we could relate to it through seeing how Yitzhak treated Esau. But ultimately, Hashem's not doing it because Yitzhak did it. It's just like we think about that, and it helps us get in touch with Hashem's Rachmah HaRavan.
That's a veil. The veil.
Right. Yes. The veil. Malam Ayim Sorim. Yeah, good. Right. Exactly, he's Malamai. Even though totally Namadakti, right, exactly. In a way that, and that's valuable for us to think about Yitzhak, because in a certain sense, he was the person who saw no evil. Now, because there's all the Mima and whatever, that's true. But that's a Midas Kadosh Baruch Hu. In some sense, that is a Midas Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Malamai and Zorim. That's it.
Body that Midas Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he's so removed.
Exactly. It's like, right. It's like the model that Mida, because he's removed from the physical. So he was able to just, you know, like normal person sees evil and it just bothers them, and we can't look past the evil, and we get, throws them off. And like, and there's a value to that. That's what I'm saying. It's like tricky. There's a value to having, obviously, if not for Rivka and Yaakov's perspective, then Esav would have been, again, the brachos, and who knows what, that would have been terrible. But at the same time, that doesn't mean, but there's also a value to his perspective, and there's a balance in HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us sometimes in this manner, sometimes in that manner, and you know, this it's complex. But this is what we want in times of a total despair. What allows us to exist today for a Yitzhak? That idea of the so like Yitzhak, who is like a see no evil type of a thing. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what we're banking on. You know, like that type of a kapara, that type of mizbeach, and his mizbeach shows it's like rachamim, it's kapara, it's, you know, ultimately it's a certain type of rachamim, extreme rachamim, where our evil is totally like, it only looks at the good things about us and ignores the good things, which is what Yitzchak did basically. Yeah, so like in some sense, there's again the chop of this move, which is, you know, you could argue on it or you could say it's interesting, is that it's like it's going to Yitzchak's things and Tevi Chida Esav. There's no indication of that. Esav part is totally, that was I think Demers, you know. Most. The part which I think is good and is indicated is like the Afer of Yitzchak. It's like there's a direct path to the Shtra in that part. The Afer of Yitzchak. What Afer? You know, it's like saying that it goes into Yitzchak's personality of how he was, you know, that type of a person. But the part about Esav is not well supported. That's the part which is a bit of a doubt, you know. And but it's still it's like it's kind of a you could say it's like a consequence of the Afer of Yitzchak. You know, it's just like expressed through Esav. You know, you could say the point even without Esav. It's just like you see it as expressed through Esav. But that part isn't pointed to explicitly anywhere. So that's the
But the
consequence
Afer of
of,
Shaul Yitzchak
right, is.
experience is that he embodied a Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu
Right,
even in his life.
exactly. That Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Midah which
We want to come
we
to as a
want
Galus.
always with us, with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in Galus, even the depths of Galus, worst of the Chatayim. He doesn't need to remember that again. When we come back, then he'll retreat us like the holy Yaakov and Avraham. But he doesn't need to remember the Yitzchak. The Yitzchak is always. That's always before him. It doesn't matter how bad we are. He's always see our goodness in the Yitzchak framework. It's the goodness of the Yaakov and Avram framework which we need to wash away some of our evil before that good registers before that. I think about saying there's some better way to say it, or that it has to be filled out more, or I don't know. There's something very interesting about this, but there's something which maybe has to be, you know, filled in or developed, or some maybe some pieces missing. I don't know, something like that. So it's Tzarchian. Tzarchian.